Surayya had turned the study upstairs into a bedroom for Sohrab. She let him in and he sat on the edge of the bed. The sheets showed brightly colored kites flying in indigo blue skies. She had made inscriptions on the wall by the closet, feet and inches to measure a child's growing height. At the foot of the bed, I saw a wicker basket stuffed with books, a locomotive, a watercolor set. Sohrab was wearing the plain white t-shirt and new denims I had bought him in Islamabad just before we left. The shirt hung loosely over his bony, slumping shoulders. The color still hadn't seeped back into his face, save for the halo of dark circles around his eyes. He was looking at us now in the impassive way he had looked at the plates of boiled rice the hospital orderly placed before him. Surayya asked if he liked his room, and I noticed that she was trying to avoid looking at his wrists and that her eyes kept swaying back to those jagged pink lines. Sohrab lowered his head, hid his hands under his thighs and said nothing. Then he simply lay his head on the pillow. Less than 5 minutes later, Surayya and I watching from the doorway, he was snoring. We went to bed, and Surayya fell asleep with her head on my chest. In the darkness of our room, I lay awake, an insomniac once more. Awake, and alone with demons of my own. Sometime in the middle of the night, I slid out of bed and went to Sohrab's room. I stood over him, looking down, and saw something protruding from under his pillow. I picked it up. Saw it was Rahim Khan's Polaroid, the one I had given to Sohrab the night we had sat by the Shah Faisal Mosque. The one of Sohrab and Hassan standing side by side, squinting in the light of the sun and smiling like the world was a good and just place. I wondered how long Sohrab had lain in bed staring at the photo, turning it in his hands. I looked at the photo. "Your father was a man torn between two halves," Rahim Khan had said in his letter. I had been the entitled half, the society-approved, legitimate half, the unwitting embodiment of Baba's guilt. I looked at Hassan, showing those two missing front teeth, sunlight slanting on his face. Baba's other half, the unentitled, unprivileged half. The half who had inherited what had been pure and noble in Baba. The half that, maybe, in the most secret recesses of his heart, Baba had thought of as his true son. I slipped the picture back where I had found it. Then I realized something. That last thought had brought no sting with it. Closing Sohrab's door, I wondered if that was how forgiveness budded. Not with the fanfare of epiphany, but with pain gathering its things, packing up, and slipping away unannounced in the middle of the night.